I can't tell you how much I appreciate, in the middle of everybody's busy time and families and traveling here and there and everywhere and all of the busyness associated with Christmas, to take time to come to church on Christmas. Without Jesus, there's no church. Without the church, there's no Christmas season. There's lots of stories, lots of histories, lots of different things that have gone on throughout time since the beginning of time, since Jesus' own birth. Things that have happened throughout church and throughout church history. But I was talking this morning, Christmas is a time to celebrate the one who saved us. It's a time of honoring what he did. And whether you believe that Jesus was born on December 25th, or you believe that he was born in September, October, some people believe he may have actually been born in June, can I say it doesn't matter? Because the point is to celebrate him. And that's what we're here for today. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 19 everybody has seen a Charlie Brown Christmas, right? And you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger, and you have an angel that visits Mary before that and says you're going to have a child, and he's going to save his people from their sin. And she just very meekly, she says, okay, be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you desire, whatever God desires, that's what I'm going to do. Joseph gets a visit from an angel. Come on, there's a lot of visitations from angels going on. Then they're on their way to Bethlehem, and it's time for her to have this baby. And the only place that they can go to have this baby, that they end up in a manger. Is it a sukkah? I don't know. It says manger. There's animals in it. In the process, she has this child, and the shepherds are out in the fields, and there's angels, and there's a star, and the angels start singing and tell the shepherds to go, and you'll find this baby, this savior of the world. And they go. And there's the baby, just like the angels said. Joseph and Mary are there, and they're holding their new little baby. Can you imagine the awe? They know that this is the Savior. Answering that question, Mary, did you know? They knew. And they're there, and they're looking at this precious baby. They're holding this precious baby, and they know the awesome responsibility that God has given them in this baby. Babies are a gift. Verse 19 says that Mary kept those things in her heart and meditated about them, thought about them. What mother, you've just given birth, and now you're holding this baby, and you're thinking about all of the things that have just happened, everything you've gone through. Labor is intensive. It's not easy. She's gone through this labor. She knows that she has borne the Savior of the world. He's going to inherit David's throne, and he's going to rule forever. And she's thinking about these angels' visits, and she's pondering all these things that says she kept them in her heart and meditated on them. And I think throughout her entire life, she's going to keep meditating on those things. Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua, which means God saves. There's no other Savior that comes that can save except God himself. And she treasures these things in her heart. She's treasuring him in her heart. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think on those things which are good and pleasant. She's thinking on all of the good things, the angelic visits, and she's thinking about how does all this play out. She's kept keeping it in her heart, meditating on it. She's keeping Jesus in her heart. She's the first person to ever keep Jesus in her heart. She's the first person to ever keep God saves me in my heart and holds him as a baby and feeds him and loves him and changes his diapers, if you will. Think about the joy of family and friends. Maybe, you know, growing up, Christmas wasn't always what you wanted it to be. It wasn't a Hallmark movie. You know, there's the saying on the Hallmark movie that, you know, something happens, and then, you know, the person goes and finds some new adventure, and then they start to fall in love, and then something, a hiccup happens, and that now they've got to get back on track. And every Hallmark movie is like that for Christmas. And then, they find love again. You know, maybe Christmas wasn't always perfect. Maybe your parents weren't always perfect. Maybe you didn't get all the stuff that you always thought you wanted to get. But think about the times with your family. Growing up, I have in my heart, I remember sitting around the Christmas tree with my family. And everything wasn't perfect. And I remember the first Christmas after my mom had multiple sclerosis. And that was hard. But you know what? She was there. Think on those things. Think on the positive things. You're here today with a bunch of people who will hug you and love you and give you their time. Dwell on that. Treasure that in your heart. Treasure that. Treasure that the reason that we're here today is because Jesus came. Treasure that in your heart. We need to treasure him. I love, not just the saying, not just at Christmas, but all year long. That's the gift that we've been given, is that Christmas for us is not just one day a year. It's an attitude of giving and of love and of joy. God is a God of joy. Zephaniah 3:17 says that he whirls around excitedly in anticipation at the very thought of you. Maybe nobody else ever feels that way about you, but he does. He always feels that way about you. Ultimately, Jesus died, and she had to remember those things in her heart. When the angels told her, you're going to bear a son, and he's going to be the savior of the world, and he's going to take his father David's throne, and he's going to sit on it forever, and he's on the cross, and it doesn't look like it right then. But she has treasured these things in her heart and meditated on them. She had hope. At Christmas, one of the greatest things that we can have is hope. We, above everybody else as believers, we have hope that no matter what happens today, if you burn your roast or if somebody forgets to bring the pudding, it's not the end of the world. We have hope. No matter what else happens, we have hope because we treasure him in our hearts and we put him first. Treasure him in your heart today. Treasure him. Treasure him. Meditate on him. Think on him. Because he's the reason that you're here anyway. He's the reason that we're all here today. Well, I want to do Silent Night again and O Holy Night. The thing with Christmas carols is that, I don't know if you noticed, but Silent Night or Hark the Herald Angels Sing was written by Charles Finney. A lot of what we call Christmas carols, they're Christmas carols, but they were written hundreds of years ago in some cases, and they were written as worship songs. Now, I love Silent Night. The story on Silent Night is there's this little town in Oberndorf, Switzerland, or Austria, I can't remember, and they had this pipe organ, but it wasn't working, and so they wanted to have something, a song, that was so crystal clear and so beautiful that they could sing it without accompaniment. And so that's where Silent Night comes from. And that the purpose on them is to worship God. Any song that we sing as a Christmas carol, the purpose of them is to bring joy. And they're a song of worship that we sing from our hearts, where we treasure him, where we put him in our hearts and we treasure him. And I want, before we do that, we have two amazing testimonies. One testimony, Regina's not here this week, and I don't know if you saw this on Facebook. In 2002, she had an attack of multiple sclerosis. And since then, when she goes in for her annual MRIs and stuff, she has had 16 or more lesions on her brain and on her neck that are a result of the MS. And they actually cause the paralysis and different things that happen in the body. So she sent us a text message last week. She says, well, I won't be there at church on Sunday. She says, I'm going out of town, but first I have to go and get my MRI. And, you know, and she said, hopefully they'll find out that I still have a brain in there. And she called Kathy on Friday. She was so excited. It's one of those, I just left the doctor, and I'm so excited, and I just have to tell you. She said, I'm sorry if I'm interrupting you, because people, oh, but I can't wait. I just can't wait to tell somebody. She said, I went to the doctor. It's a new doctor. He's never seen me before. And so he did the MRI, and he said, you don't have multiple sclerosis. What are you talking about? He said, you don't have lesions on your brain. He said, not only don't you have any lesions on your brain, because for 15 years, she's had 16 or more lesions on her brain since 2002. 16 or more lesions on her brain since 2002. The MRI showed no lesions on her brain for the first time since 2002. She had two really minor spots. Come on, this is Jesus that we're here celebrating today. Jesus is the Savior. He's the healer. The Word of God tells us that by the stripes on Jesus' back, we were healed. She has been standing on that scripture for years. My mom did the same thing. She told my grandmother, she said, well, I'm healed. And my grandmother said, well, you don't look very healed. Well, you might not look very healed, and you might not feel very healed, but you just keep standing on that. Amen. And she has no lesions. She has two little spots, and the doctor says, well, I doubt you ever had multiple sclerosis. That's what doctors would say to my mom. They said, she went and she had all of her tests done, and she'd go every so often, and she'd only had the one initial attack, and then she never had another one again. And the doctor said, well, you must just be healed from multiple sclerosis. Regina's doctor said, there's no way you've ever had multiple sclerosis. Why? Because they're looking at the natural, they're looking at what they can see, and she said, no, God healed me, and he said, no, you never had it, and she said, no, God healed me. All right? Another testimony, because we're here celebrating Jesus. Bob and Verna's granddaughter had a prognosis of cancer, and there was a tumor wrapped around an artery. And we've prayed for her here before, and they said, there's nothing we can do about it. Right? If they can't do anything, what does that mean? That means only God can fix it. And they gave her 2 years to live. And so we prayed for her, and she sought some other outside treatment. They did a scan because her white blood cell went from 400-something down to 80-something. Okay? 400 white cell count, really bad. 50 to 80, really good. She went down from 400-something down to 80. And the tumor that was on her artery that they couldn't remove is gone. She has a couple little tumors on her ovaries, and she's continuing to take, it's a pill chemo that she can take that is directed specifically for that. Who is the only one who can make a tumor go away? Who is the only one who can heal us, a person from multiple sclerosis? I know several people. I know one person who died as a result of multiple sclerosis. I know four people who have been healed from multiple sclerosis. Every single one of those four that was healed is a believer who's believing in Jesus, who's believing for healing. Every single one of them that was believing for it got it. I know two people who aren't believing for it. But four believed for it. And Regina is someone we all know. And she's been healed from multiple sclerosis. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing, go ahead and take it away. I just, you know, it's exciting, isn't it? When God works and God moves. Can we get the lights off again? Everybody stand up. We're going to sing a couple more songs, okay?
Oh, night divine. serenely beaming with glowing hearts by his cradle is so lit by light of stars.
Love paid the ransom for me. Love paid the ransom for you. We love you. We love you.